Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming. I don't know if you know, but Monsignor and I have very privileged places from which to observe and see things. The presider's chair and even the pulpit, right? We see a lot. And as I see you, it's also really good at this point to begin to say, I can know some of you. So I look out and I knew some people right away when I first came here, but now I'm knowing you more. More and more people. Your joys, your struggles, your burdens, your blessings, your courage. Basically, your stories, to know you. So I get to see quite a lot from here. And one of my favorite things to see is watching the delightful, chaotic adventure that is family life during a cathedral mass. It's the best. So if you ever see me smirking, it's usually because one of our littles has escaped the pew and has bolted, or a stuffy gets thrown, or kids are running around, you know, the baptismal font in the back, or a two-year-old is really desirous of Jesus in the Eucharist and really wants to make his first communion right at that moment, and mom has to grab the hand and hold it down so she can receive. I love all that. I absolutely love it. I know it's chaos. It's like barely controlled. But it's so very good because it's life. And life is so very good. Catholic Church is the great defender of life. So when life is threatened, the church speaks up. And life is being threatened in our state. And so the Catholic Church is speaking up. You'll see in your bulletin this weekend a letter from Bishop Vedder and Bishop Fleming speaking out directly against a proposed amendment to our state's constitution. That amendment is Constitutional Initiative 128, CI 128. And its supporters are currently gathering signatures to try to get it on our November ballot. So what is CY 128? It's an aggressive attempt which would amend our state's constitution to make abortion a constitutional right with nearly no limits. So to our shame, abortion is already legal in this state. But this initiative would change our constitution to enshrine abortion as an almost absolute right. The letter from the bishops lay out what's at stake. So please read it. Our bishops are asking us to pray that this initiative is defeated, ideally before it ever gets to the November ballot. Now let me pause just for a moment, because some of you may be thinking, Father Mark shouldn't be preaching politics from the pulpit. First of all, this is a moral issue. This initiative is a direct threat to babies, to women, and to families. So not only can I preach about it, I'm obligated to preach about it. But to calm any fears a bit further, this initiative is not overtly sponsored by any particular party or candidate. You can use your own reason to figure out who might be supporting this in a particular party or which candidate might support it. That's on you. But as it is, the initiative is simply a straight up-down vote on whether we as Montanans want abortion enshrined as a right in our state's constitution. So that clarifies the situation greatly. At least in regard to this specific initiative, we're all single-issue voters. There's no nuance here. If you sign the petition, you are signing your name in direct support of abortion. If it makes the ballot in November and you vote for it, you are voting directly for abortion. There are no other issues attached to the initiative. No economic or foreign policies, no educational programming, no city zoning laws. It is just about enshrining abortion in our state constitution, to make it a constitutive element of our state. part of the very fabric of what we value as Montanans. Enshrining abortion. Think about that language for a moment. We have shrines. We have a shrine to St. Joseph. We have a shrine to our Blessed Mother. Our shrines are places where we offer prayer and we lift up our hearts in worship to God. And then there are some who want to enshrine abortion. Well, evil is always a mockery of the good. And when evil comes to distort the truth and to damage and destroy lives, it should be called out clearly and directly. St. John Paul II knew that and did that. He was a bit of an expert on evil. After having lived under both the Nazis and the communists in his beloved Poland. Here's what he wrote to the whole church in 1995 in his great encyclical Evangelium Vitae, which means the gospel of life. I quote, "The acceptance of abortion in the popular mind, in behavior, and even in law itself is a telling sign of an extremely dangerous crisis of the moral sense, which is becoming more and more incapable of distinguishing between good and evil, even when the fundamental right to life is at stake. Such a grave situation given to us calls for us now to have more than ever the courage to look the truth in the eye and to call things by their proper name without yielding to convenient compromises or to the temptation of self-deception." Friends, every now and then, we have to have the courage to look the truth in the eye and to call things by their proper name. Because we're always tempted to yield to convenient compromises or to self-deception. Well, we can't with this one, not with this initiative. Too much is at stake. The Pope goes on, "Especially in the case of abortion, there is widespread use of ambiguous terminology, which tends to hide abortion's true nature and to attenuate its seriousness in public opinion." If you read this initiative, you'll find exactly that: ambiguous terminology, which hides the true nature of what's at stake. That's why I beg you to take the bishop's letter, to read it and to inform yourself what CI 128 is all about. Back to the Pope. He says, "Perhaps this linguistic phenomenon is itself a symptom of an uneasiness of conscience." Yes, it is. And then he says this, "But no word has the power to change the reality of things. Procured abortion is the deliberate and direct killing, by whatever means it is carried out, of a human being in the initial phase of his or her existence, extending from conception to birth." You can't use language to change the reality. Procured abortion is the deliberate and direct killing of a human being. That deliberate and direct killing of a human being is being pursued as a constitutional right in our state. I'm a born and bred Montanan. I grew up here. I hope to die here. I love living here. And those words stun me. The deliberate and direct killing of a human being is being pursued as a constitutional right. Well, here we are. We didn't ask for this fight, but here we are. So what do? We follow our bishop's lead. First, we pray. Prayer has power, way more power than we realize. Prayer changes realities because prayer changes hearts. We bring God into this in a very deliberate and focused way. Now, concretely, at our bishop's directive, starting this weekend, after every Mass in every parish in the entire state of Montana, we will pray an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be for the protection of life and the defeat of this constitutional initiative. So we pray. Second, do not sign this initiative if approached, and you very well could be approached. Many of you probably already have been approached. And if you are approached, you will hear things like, "Are you interested in signing a petition for women's rights?" And that's all they will say unless you ask. So you need to inform yourself. And then you should engage that person because perhaps they don't even know what they're actually advocating for in gathering signatures. Third, we need to get the word out about what is at stake. This is for all of us, not just for me, but for all of us, which means that you need to talk to your family and your friends. We'll be giving you resources and information as this progresses, but it's up to you to summon the moral courage to have tough conversations, to inform yourself, and then to inform others. Now, if you're upset by this initiative, good. You have a well-formed conscience. If you're upset at me for preaching about this, I'll be right back there at the end of Mass. Come talk to me. I'll listen to you. You can set up an appointment with me. I'll come find you. I'll go to where you want to meet, and I will listen. But I also hope that you will listen to me and to your church. Someone recently said to me, "Abortion is such a complicated issue." I actually don't think so. Helping women who are at risk in their pregnancies, especially young women, walking with women who may have had an abortion in the past and seeking healing for them, supporting single moms, rebuilding stable families in places where the family structure has fallen apart, those are complicated. Those require immense amount of creativity and flexibility. It's the messiness of human life. We have to step into that with nimble minds, but also, and way more importantly, with deeply compassionate hearts. We have to have the compassion of Jesus, who wasn't afraid of people's past mistakes, who was patient in teaching and helping people understand the truth, who wasn't afraid of people who were scared, who felt alone. We have to be the ones who bring our hearts that way in this time. That's complicated, and that requires holiness. But abortion itself is not complicated. On the direct killing of innocent human life in the womb, things are very clear. So let's be clear-headed about this initiative and incredibly compassionate to those who might be contemplating abortion, those who are scared and alone, those who may have had an abortion in the past, those who may have helped someone get an abortion. And to those people, the mercy of the Lord is always available. God's healing is always stronger than any wound we could carry in this life. Listen now. All of us here, every single one of us, we are all going to die. And then we'll have to give an account to God about what we did to protect and defend life from conception to natural death. That includes the poor. That includes the migrant. That includes the addict, the elderly, the disabled, all those people who our culture considers useless. But that especially includes the unborn, because the right to life is the fundamental right upon which every other human right rests. And friends, if we don't protect and defend the unborn, why would we be surprised that we live in a culture that doesn't care for the poor, or the sick, or the elderly, or the addict, or the disabled? Well, brothers and sisters, here in Montana, in our time, we have a chance to protect and defend the most vulnerable humans on the planet, those in the womb. And we have a chance to stand with the women who carry them in their wombs. We have a chance to protect and defend, and a chance to stand with. We are the Catholic Church. We have never wavered for one moment on this issue. It is our time to not waver now, but to stand strong with wide open hearts. We are the Catholic Church. We had better answer the call, and we had better lead from the front.